everyone who is single is not, like you said, not looking for a relationship or marriage, but we are trying to operate in our purpose. And so throughout this conference, we're talking, the theme of the conference is chasing destiny. So we're talking about how to position yourself, how to walk in your purpose, because it's not just about finding a mate. That's a byproduct. The Lord will bless us. If that's your desire, if that's your heart's desire, that's great. But what I want to make sure we're able to do is to position you so that you can maximize your life right where you are and allow God to handle the rest, right?
Well, welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. Pleasure to have you today, and I'm really looking forward to the next half hour we're going to spend together with a dear friend that I met a few years ago, Isaac Curry. Isaac Amen. Is the pastor to singles at Hope Presbyterian Church. About that time of year when he puts together this amazing singles conference. And that's why we're here today. Isaac, good to see you.
Man, it's a pleasure to see you too, Bob.
So what have you been up to lately?
This year has been very hectic. You know, we're in the thrust of preparing for this conference, the No Regrets Conference, and trying to do things bigger, trying to do things better, and trying to be faithful to the people that God assigns to us this year. And just growing the community that God has me in at Hope Church now. And so you mentioned the pastor of singles. Have a few different titles around there.
Have they added some more to you?
Well, yeah.
Is the paycheck going higher too?
Well, you know, I won't air that on. But yeah, I'm also on the preaching and teaching team now. And we got an internship program doing that and a couple other things. And working directly with a senior pastor, Rufus. And so, yeah, God is doing some things. And there's some shifting. And we're anxious to see what's on the horizon.
I guess in ministry, there are constantly growing pains.
Absolutely.
And that can be a good thing. It can be stressful, too, at times.
You know, you usually can't see it because you're so up close, and it's not until you train yourself to pause and take a step back and to see the bigger picture. But growing pains does happen, but we usually can't understand, you know, the pain because it's so up close. But like I said, you take a step back and you'll be able to see the bigger picture. And so that's what I have to always teach and train myself to do as I try to deposit into the lives of others as well.
Well, I know that you pull out all stops when it comes to putting this conference together, because singles are often a neglected population of many ministries. You know, they're not in the youth.
Sure.
And, you know, many of them are in their own careers.
Sure.
Maybe they don't have families right now.
Sure.
Many of them are desiring to be married. Mm-hmm. You know, not all.
And many don't have a desire to be married.
Many don't have a desire, right? But they're in that place. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, as I said, neglected by the church.
Absolutely. I think what you will notice, many churches just choose not to even open that can of worms. And so churches don't give a budget toward a singles ministry. They just kind of allow the singles, so to speak, to kind of go into other areas or just come into the main area. But I think that's an untapped resource. It has so much potential. But what I have found is that many pastors, and, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, just don't know how. It's an ignorance, not in a bad way. It's just an ignorance. Just don't know how to actually foster this singles community, because most of your church, you know, is made up of single individuals, right? But we will often, you know, have a marriage and family ministry, you know, a youth ministry, children's ministry, but that singles ministry, if there is a singles ministry, is usually kind of like a volunteer led.
And I think, too, the dynamics of singles ministry has changed quite over the years, because now so many Christian families are being hit by divorce. And so you got a lot of single parents, a lot of single moms out there that are working multiple jobs, trying to take care of their children and find proper child care for their kids.
It's shifting because, one, the rate of divorce is so high, but then people who have never been married are waiting. They're waiting even longer to get married. And so you have people who are not into their 40s before they actually get married.
Why is it, Isaac? Is it the culture that we're living in today? Is it created that environment where...
The culture has created the environment where I don't think it's an intentional thing, but the culture is dictating a whole lot. I mean, and I found that more, and studies show that more people are waiting, you know, more people, the first time marriages, you know, and even me, I hadn't been married yet, and I'm mid-30s, right? And so there was a point in time where that would be unheard of. But that's what we see. But I myself, I'm blessed to be fostering a community that is unorthodox, though. When I first arrived there, I didn't want to be in Memphis. Just graduated Duke with the master's, and the Lord brought me back here, and I was trying to leave here. My engagement had failed through. And I had no reason to be here because there was a bad breakup in my former place with my former ministry. This was like in 2011. And so I get a phone call going into 2011 from E. Marcel Jones, who offered me the opportunity to do a singles ministry with him or a singles conference with him in 2004.
And that was at Cumming Street.
That was at Cumming Street. And he was like, it's 2010. And he's like, there were some people who come from Hope who came to the singles conference and they wanted to know. This is years later. They wanted to know if you can come by and teach a couple of times. And I was like, sure. He was like, but they can't pay you. I was like, I'm not worried about that. This is Hope. But one thing led to another. You're in this space where at this time I'm in my late 20s. Here you have a small community of maybe 40, 50 people, all white, maybe like 60. You know, and I thought it was a joke that God was playing on me. You know, I was like, Lord.
It wasn't April's Fool, huh?
It wasn't April, but I was like, Lord, you know, you've sent me around the country. I've had a chance to see wonderful things and help to plant churches in Africa. But this one, I can't quite follow you on. And I had to teach on love for 2 weeks. How am I going to teach these people about love? They could probably run laps around me about love, the subject of love. And I taught 2 Sundays. A few months later, I came back as a fly on the wall. And people greeted me first name, last name, and I felt very welcome. So I started kind of just coming, you know, licking my wounds, but just kind of in the back. They asked me to teach again, and I taught because they were in transition. It was in a disarray. And I taught, and then they were like, hey, we'd love for you to be the consistent teacher here, but we can't pay you. And at this time, I had no job. You know, I'm getting unemployment, about $100 a week, and I'm cutting grass and I'm allergic to grass. You know the story. And I'm working as a leasing consultant. Here I have 2 master's degrees, Princeton and Duke. And I'm sleeping on my mother's sofa and you don't know what's going on. Car's barely driving and you have no money and you're in Memphis. And you're like, God, this was not the assignment. This wasn't a plan. Because if so, I would have told you, never mind. And then I got sick. I went to 32 different doctors. Because my eyes were bothering me, migraines. And after 32 different doctor visits, the doctor, one neurologist told me, you might have something called myasthenia gravis. We don't know. We're just going to give you medicine and just see what happens. And so they were practicing on me. And so I was in a very dark moment in my life, right? And yet I'm still teaching on Sundays, which for me, if I'm going to teach, if I'm going to preach, that's 15, 25 hours of just prep, just being in the presence of God, in addition to, you know, working these 4 other jobs, just trying to survive. I depended on God. And so I end up doing that. And before you know it, the community started to grow a little bit. And it's 2011. It wasn't until 2014. So for 3 years, I did this and it was turmoil. But the people started to put money in my pocket because they knew that I was barely eating. You know, they knew that I had nowhere, you know, really to lay my head. And so They cared about me enough to go against the rules. Now, I would preach. I wasn't preaching so that they would do anything. I was just preaching because I was trying to be faithful. And every week, some weeks I would leave with, you know, $50 in my pocket. Some weeks I would leave with $500 in my pocket. And that's what I needed to survive. But long story short, they offered me an internship there and I was barely getting paid in the internship, but at least it was something. But the whole goal was just to be faithful, although I did not understand what God was doing. It was almost like when God told Abraham, I want you to get up and leave this place into land I will show you. I will show you. He didn't show him the place. He just told him to get up and go and I will show you. So I had learned from that text is just that sometimes there's some things you won't see until you start walking. And so I started walking and then I began to see as I was walking. And so you fast forward, the community dictated that Hope Church hire me. Hope Church wasn't, and no offense to them, that was not in their plans. It was not in their budget. Singles ministries, often the person over it is easy to take advantage of the people. It's easy to mismanage because you have a lot of people who are in different seasons, a lot of people who are hurting, and it's easy. You know, the temptation can be there. And so they were not going to hire me. And then people every week would write letters, emails, and put things in the comment cards. We need him. You need to hire him. And people were getting very demanding. But these were people who were faithful members of the church.
So you were basically starting a riot in Hope Church.
And it's like I was trying to. They would tell me after. I didn't have the benefit of knowing people were writing these things to know what it was. what was being said or done until afterwards. And I learned that, you know, every comment you ever fill out at Hope Church, somebody's going to read it. And so that's why the internship came around, is because they saw that this community began to grow in numbers, and not just in numbers, but there was a demand for it. And so as I teach people who are in Kansas and other places who are trying to start singles ministries, I tell them, you have to show the church that there is a demand, there is a need for this. And sometimes it may mean you committing to this ministry without any promise for a future.
You know, I like what you're saying. I recently interviewed Pat Williams, who helped found the Orlando Magic basketball team. I was down there at a convention, and Pat's written a new book. And so the opportunity came to do a radio show on Mid-South Viewpoint. So we did. And he says oftentimes he'll get folks call him up and say, I want to be a basketball coach, or I want to do this. How can I get on? You know,
going.
And okay, so you're a lawyer, right? And you make this some six figure job.
Yep.
Okay. And yeah, this is what I do. Okay, so if I'm hearing you right, you really have this passion to be in a basketball career. You want to be a coach. You want to be on a team. You want to have some type of input into the operations of a team, right? Oh, that's exactly what I want to do. I'm very passionate about that. Okay, so would you be willing to leave your six-figure job to make $25,000 a year? Would you be willing to do that? The answer absolutely is no, I can't do that. I can't give up, you know.
That's it.
And so we are living in a generation that says they want it now. I want it now.
Microwave age.
Yeah, microwave age. And you describe your wilderness experience like Moses had that wilderness experience.
Yes.
It's a time of being humbled.
Yes.
It's a time of learning to trust God. And it's a time where you really learn to walk by faith.
Yes.
And we need courageous people like yourself who are willing to do things like this to see God get the glory.
Absolutely.
Totally. That's what's happened here.
And I write about it, and it's no congratulations to me, because I fought God for a while and it just didn't make sense. But I just remember that I had to, I'm working these two-bit side jobs, four and five jobs, and this is totally against what going to get this Ivy League education, all this stuff means. But you're exactly right. And so being there, you know, they eventually had to bring me on staff because it just made sense. Or at least offer me the internship. And during this time, you had a community that went from 50 to 100. And for a while, I was just the only black person there, you know, aside from my godmother. And so it wasn't until almost going into 2015 that something shifted. And when I realized something was shifting, it was the intergenerational component, and it was just the multi-ethnic component. The Lord began to draw people who shared my generation. It only makes sense. And then you also began to see a growth in people who were African-American, you know, Latino, and you didn't know what to do with it. But I had to follow the same structure that my pastor Rufus started showing me. And so I started to create people. I brought people on leadership who looked like where we were trying to go. And so from there to now, we're averaging anywhere from 175 to 200 weekly. But during the week, we're ministering to about 200 as well.
When you talk about ministering to singles, as you mentioned, it's a full-time job plus. I mean, all hours of the night.
I'm in all sense. If you were to come on a Sunday morning, no one told you where you were going. Like last week, there was this African-American guy who was invited to Hope, to the main worship service. And he came, and he accidentally came in the South Hall. And he sat in the back, and he thought he was in the main service, because all these people are in this South Hall room and you have an element of worship time and fellowship. And so it seemed like this strong community.
Is South Hall, is that the singles?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one area where we had started the church, you know, I mean, where the church had services, and that's where we are. You know, it's you come in there, but I must confess, on a Sunday morning, though, it's not limited. It's not exclusive to singles, because you have married people. When we're in there, we're not talking about singleness. We're not talking about loneliness. I teach my people that those are all symptoms. The goal is to get to the source of the problem. When you have a headache, you know, or if you have a fever, or if you have, you know, a stomach, you know, bug, all these things are symptoms. And sometimes if you only deal with the symptoms, then you'll find out something else is going to rise up. But if you might have the flu and you don't know it. So you need to change up your regimen. And so my thing is self-awareness. My thing is the Bible. I teach the Bible. And so, you'll come in there, you'll never see or hear anything about singleness. And we're talking about the Word of God. Last week, we talked about the subject of finding Jesus. And we looked at Luke 1, where Mary and Joseph, Bible says the celebration was over. And when the celebration was over, they left for Nazareth, right? But they didn't recognize that Jesus was still in Jerusalem. And it said that they assumed that Jesus was among the family and friends. So they went a day's journey and didn't recognize it, that the presence of the Lord had shifted. And they didn't even govern themselves accordingly. And I talked about the gap fillers, and they thought that he was among the family and friends, and there was that gap. And so when the celebration was going on, Jesus was with them. But when they got ready to get back on the road, the routine, the familiarity, you know, there were family members, there were acquaintances that began to fill in this gap. And that gap began to grow so much that they didn't even recognize that Jesus was not around. And I talked about how in our lives, we all have gaps, and we got gap fillers. We got friends, we got family, we got busy schedules, we got all these things that come in between Jesus and us to a point where we don't even recognize when he shifts. And that has nothing to do with singleness.
And not anything. I mean, finding Jesus is something that we all need.
We all have a gap. And the thing is, we have issues we hold on to. We have pain that we won't release from something in the past, from something that we've experienced. Gaps. We all have gaps. And the thing is, you have to recognize, you have to ask God to reveal your gaps. You have to be willing to release your gaps, whatever these things that are in your gaps. And so we talked about this. But the thing is, though, this has nothing to do with being single. This has everything to do with being a child of God and growing your relationship with him. And that's the same approach as this conference.
You know, I think that's a great point you make too, Isaac, because so often we compartmentalize.
Yes.
You're black, you're white, you're
yes.
Hispanic,
yes.
You're single, you're married, you know,
yes.
You're old, you're young, you're skinny, you're fat.
Yes.
I mean, we just constantly, but in God's kingdom, in God's dynamic
Absolutely.
Of people, that doesn't happen.
It has nothing to do with relationship status. And so that's why I cultivate that within this community. So that's why accidentally, you know, a married couple can come in there and they're like, man, we can use this. And then they may realize this is a singles ministry. And it's like, hey, you know, this is what we do. And so we cultivated the No Regrets Conference. And this year we hadn't quite elaborated or honed in on this singles conference. Because I don't want to limit it. I believe God is going to be doing some stretching in the future or some expanding in the future.
Right.
But we call it the No Regrets Conference. And of course, this is birthed out of the singles ministry. And so the thing, even this, the purpose, the mission of the No Regrets Conference is to nurture people back to life.
I love this. I love this, Isaac, because you're looking at a population of people, of
yes.
singles, who, like we all are, experiencing hurts, habits, and hangups,
mm-hmm.
and they're finding Jesus
yes.
to deliver them from that.
Absolutely.
But what a wonderful testament of these singles group primarily
yeah.
that are raising up and they're saying, hey, you can learn from us. You know?
Absolutely. And I recognize that not everybody, believe it or not, identifies as being single. And you have to recognize, and for whatever reason, they just, you know, they can not be married, they could be dating someone, but they just don't like the term single. They don't recognize with that, you know, they don't identify
yeah.
with the term single. And we, for whatever reason, and that's okay. And that's why, like I said, the purpose of the conference, and this is why we always, even from the first year, the second year, and we're heading into our third year, you know, the purpose is to nurture people and their purpose back to life. So wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whether it's business, whether it's health, whether it's spiritual growth, we try to speak to the whole
right.
person.
Well, I think something too, we all need, as God's children, need to live life without regrets.
Absolutely.
And there's that freedom to do that.
Absolutely.
But
and
again, we get caught up on all these hurts, habits, and hangups.
We want to give you the tools at this conference.
Yeah.
And most people don't know, as we hope to become a brand, a household, you know, brand name, but the conference is birthed out of the book, out of my book, you know, No Regrets, How to Foolproof Your Dating Life. Most people, if not all people who have read that book, will say, why did you name this book, you know, like How to Foolproof Your Dating Life, because this helps me in my entire life. I've had married couples. I have pastors have said, this is what I recommend to people who are going through relation, who are about to get married, who this premarital counseling. And I've had people who are married to say, I made my husband read this because we deal with codependency. We deal with a lot of different things, because what we don't realize is everything that we think about relationships, everything we bring into relationships for the most part, comes from childhood experiences. How you view money, how you view relationships, how you deal with conflict. All many of these things you've experienced in your childhood and you bring into your relationship, into your marriage. And so the best thing is self-awareness. And so at this conference this year, we're shaking it up. What we're doing is it's expanded from 1 day to 3 days. May 5th, 6th, and 7th at Hope Church, 8500 Walnut Grove. And so we have a special guest in Tony Gaskins Jr. He's a celebrity life coach, intercontinental speaker. He's coming in. He's going to be our special guest. He's going to speak on Saturday and on Sunday. So I got him for 2 days. And the reason why we're doing 3 days, because one thing I've heard from the first year and from the second year is that we love worship. We don't have enough time to worship. And so Friday night is going to be a night filled with worship. We start at 7:00 p.m. and it's going to be a night of worship. And then after that night of worship, when it's time to leave, we're going to have about 6 or 7 food trucks outside. We're going to have live music.
I mean, you've got humdingers for lunch.
Yep.
You've got Cracker Barrel breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys are really going all out.
Absolutely. And so we got once we have that food truck and the mix and mingle on Friday night, that night of worship, which we will be opening to the entire public. I know it sounds ludicrous. It's going to be crazy, but it's just a time for worship and just giving ourselves back to the Lord, leaving things on the altar. But coming back on Saturday, you know, we're going to have our plenary sessions. We used to have, well, last year we've always had, the first 2 years we've had breakout sessions. We're doing main sessions this year. And so we're going to have our main sessions. We're going to have great speakers. I won't call myself a great speaker, but, you know, since it's my conference, I am going to be speaking. But humdingers. And the thing about humdingers, if you've never had it, is clean, good food, but you have the option between 4 different entrees. See, usually when you go to conferences, you're going to get a box lunch. It's going to be cold.
And usually it's chicken.
It may be chicken.
Maybe a ham sandwich with stale bread, maybe.
Absolutely. And so, you know, no offense, but the thing about this is that when you register, it's not just 4 different entrees all with the same different sides. Each of the entrees has a different side choice. And so we're going to do that. You get to choose when you register your T-shirt size. We're going to give you a tote bag. You know, you'll have this lunch that we'll be able to bless you with. And then Tony Gaskins on Saturday, he's going to be dealing with relationships, love and relationships, how to prepare yourself for the next season of your life. But the thing about it, I didn't want to just talk about relationships, because that's not why we're, you know, producing this conference. It's not just about relationships. And so Sunday, what we'll have is we'll come and we'll have breakfast from Cracker Barrel. You know, I like pancakes. You know, I like the eggs and all that. So we're still in a negotiating war with them, because I want to make sure that the people have the best that, you know, Cracker Barrel has to offer. You know, like biscuits and gravy.
Oh, my goodness.
Because not everybody eats pancakes.
That's right.
So, but then he's going to come back, Tony Gaskins, on Sunday, and he's going to talk about what it means to chase your destiny. He's going to talk about branding yourself. He's going to talk about positioning yourself so that you can be successful, because everyone who is single is not, like you said, not looking for a relationship or marriage, but we are trying to operate in our purpose. And so throughout this conference, we're talking that the theme of the conference is chasing destiny. So we're talking about how to position yourself, how to walk in your purpose, because it's not just about finding a mate. That's a byproduct. The Lord will bless us. If that's your desire, that's your heart's desire, that's great. But what I want to make sure we're able to do is to position you so that you can maximize your life right where you are and allow God to handle the rest, right?
That's exactly right. Now, we want our listeners to know, in order to chase your destiny, in order to be able to hear this wonderful speaker, Tony Gaskins, the celebrity life coach and intercontinental speaker. He's the author of Single is Not a Curse, Mrs. Right, The New Guy Code, and The Dream Chaser. And so he's going to be the featured speaker this year, along with some other great speakers. And so you need to register. So how can folks sign up? How can they connect with you?
This is how you can sign up. The conference is May 5th, 6th, and 7th. This is our last week to register.
May 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's
yep.
Right?
Okay. May 5th, 6th, and 7th is when the conference is taking place. But you can go to hopechurchmemphis.com/no-regrets. hopechurchmemphis.com/no-regrets. And what's essential is this, is that we have to prepare for our registrants. We have to get the right T-shirt size. We have to order the food. There's so much that goes into the planning that we can't leave registration open until the conference, because then we won't be able to provide a VIP experience for everybody there. So we're heading into our last week. This is our last week of the conference registration. So I'm here and I'm so grateful that you offered me this opportunity. So the registration closes on the 14th, the registration closes. And so my goal is to try to get as many people as possible who will listen to this this particular message. Thank you for the opportunity that, hey, we want you to go ahead and register, because I would love for you to be there. When you, the moment you step on that parking lot, I believe that your life is going to be changed. I have people, I have volunteers who are willing and ready to be participants of your life to be changed. And so we want you to come.
Isaac Curry, thank you for what you're doing for Christ's kingdom, helping us to know that we can live a life without regrets.
Absolutely.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. May God bless you, my brother.
Friends, you can go to the website again, hopechurchmemphis.com/no regrets. hopechurchmemphis.com/no regrets. Hurry up and do it. As you know, May 14th is the deadline for registration. The t-shirts that you will receive, these are quality material shirts, I might add. I've seen some of these in the past. And so you're going to get a nice tote bag. You're going to get some nice goodies to go along with it, some great food. But more importantly, you're going to learn how to live a life without regrets. And so I hope you'll go to the website, hopechurchmemphis.com/no regrets. I'm Byron Tyler. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.